It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. A very happy Wednesday to you all. James Hamm is over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We have a ton to dive into. Today, there's no NBA tonight because why would there be?
Of course not, Kyle.
The league is trying very hard to make November and December basketball matter, and they do it by not having games on. Brilliant. Smooth. Well done, NBA. Just brutal. We have some Kings trade stuff to dive into, which we will do. We have the NBA Cup finale last night that we will dive into as well. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody that we are giving away, after every Kings game, a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate on Fridays. We're giving you a chance to enter after every Kings game. We're going to give you a keyword. The keyword yesterday was wing. W-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
Because on Monday, it was really clear how badly the Kings needed wing help.
Yes.
With Keegan Murray out. So enter the code WING, W-I-N-G. At ESPN1320.com, there's a Jiffy Lube contest page. You can't miss it. You will be entered to win, and we'll draw a winner on Friday. You'll be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie. Not this hoodie, not the one I'm wearing today, if you're watching on YouTube and Twitch. But the one that James and I were wearing yesterday.
We're twinsies.
We're twins yesterday. If you didn't check yesterday's show, you can go back and watch that on YouTube, or at least just check the thumbnail, and you'll see the hoodies we're wearing. Those you can only get through this giveaway.
That's right.
So go enter to win at ESPN1320.com. Again, the code word is WING, and that's from Monday's Kings game.
Yeah, and then I think the previous two winners were Tyler J. And,
oh, yeah.
And Iggy.
And Iggy. Shout out to Tyler J. and Iggy. Salute.
Yeah, so they won. Hopefully, you guys have checked your email and have found the email from our promotions team, who are amazing, and you guys are getting hooked up with your sweatshirts and $50 gift certificates.
Our guy Soren in the chat said, "Bad Christmas movies it is tonight, I guess, because there's no NBA games."
Well,
I think Cal UNLV play a bowl game.
Okay, so I do have a bone to pick with you about this Lindsay Lohan movie you made
me
watch.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay, so
we'll get to NBA Cup in a second, because the joke I was going to make was you could have done it last night because the NBA Cup game stunk.
Oh,
but
oh,
you watched the Lindsay Lohan movie. Go on.
I did. I watched the Lindsay Lohan movie.
Our Little Secret.
Our Little Secret. And our little secret is that everybody in the entire movie is a cheating.
Oh, everyone in the movie is deplorable.
They're absolutely
not
good people at all.
No one to root for in the movie.
No one to root for. And I got to be honest, it just happens to be a movie with a bunch of bad people that happens to be around Christmas. This is like, it's the Lindsay Lohan version of Die Hard. It is. It's like I'm waiting for this to be like, I'm waiting for it to be like centered around Christmas. They go get a Christmas tree. Okay, they didn't really, like, even the Christmas tree scene, I think they clip most of the cutting of the tree. It's like they come back and it's like, oh, you got such a beautiful tree.
Well, and they go to Mass and then they're together because it is Christmas and that's a big deal in the family.
I just think, like, everyone in the movie is sort of creepy.
Oh, everyone sucks.
It's just not
There's
nice.
Not a single person to root for in the movie.
No, no. Even Lindsay Lohan's character, I mean, like, she just gets caught in such a web of lies the whole
time.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, she. That's the thing, is the movie. I don't want to spoil this Christmas movie. If you've ever seen a Christmas movie, it ends how you think it would end. So, that's the thing. That's the thing that frustrates me a little bit with movies. Like, they're suspending disbelief, right?
Of course.
Which you have to do. But at the same time, one of the things that frustrates me with a movie is when people don't act how a person would just act. Like, I don't mind superhero movies or, like, Star Wars. Like, the physics in space don't work, right? But I don't give a damn.
Okay.
But when somebody, what her reaction to that, her meeting up, and this is not a spoiler, it's in the trailer. Lindsay Lohan's new boyfriend takes her home for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and her new boyfriend's sister is dating Lindsay Lohan's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
In this movie.
From like a decade earlier.
Right. And the breakup was bad, and they show that at the beginning of the movie. Breakup is bad, it's a whole thing. And instead of being like, oh my gosh, like, this is wild, we used to date, uh-huh. and just putting it all out there, like, hey, this is kind of awkward. Good to see you. We used to date. I haven't seen you in a decade. Oh, this is weird. And just, like, make it weird. Let it be weird.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, she's like, oh, hey, we've never met. Like, you really thought you were going to be able to play that ruse the entire weekend?
Yeah.
No chance.
No chance.
And, a real person is not, in that situation, is not going to be like, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. Like, I don't know. I didn't like that. It bugged me. But at the same time, if she doesn't do that, there's no movie. So I get why they had to script it that way, but oof. It was, like you said, impossible to root for anybody. I rooted for the dog.
The dog. That
Salute
was it.
Salute to the dog. The dog got thrown under the bus.
A couple of times.
Just brutal.
Yes.
Anyways, did you enjoy it?
It was fine. Like, it's background noise.
That's what they all are.
It is.
All right. Yeah. Anyways, speaking of background noise, the Bucks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 97-81 last night in the NBA Cup Final. Giannis had 26-19-10. I want to talk about the game first, and then I have some post-game stuff to get to with the NBA Cup. And then we'll dive into our King stuff. But Giannis, 26-19-10, two steals, three blocks. Nobody has wanted to ever win a thing more than Giannis wanted to win the NBA Cup.
I know.
It like, was insane. My man was on a mission last night.
Yeah, it was very strange. Like, it was like one person trying hard and everyone else kind of like, hey, look at that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And then he, like, after the game was like, job's done. Like, all right, man, salute. Like, you want to win the tournament. Like, salute. Honestly, like, good stuff. Is Giannis an MVP candidate for you?
Okay, so this is interesting. So I've told you guys that the ESPN straw poll, right?
Yes.
10 bond temps reaches out every year and then every couple of months.
Friend of the program.
Yeah, friend of the program. Tim, while he isn't popular everywhere in Sacramento, he is a very good dude. Anyway, he reached out during the game the other night and was like, hey, what do you got for your top five? So I curated a list of top five MVP candidates. Following the game last night, Tim said, hey, I'm giving everyone a shot to change if they want after last night's performance. Because I know who I had number one, which was Shea,
mm-hmm.
because he's the best player on the best team.
Yep.
And then I know who I had number two, which is Giannis, who has been absolutely insane. Like,
been ridiculous.
Go look at his numbers. And I got to be honest, after last night's performance, even
swapped
in a game that does not count, in a game that
that didn't happen,
it did not happen.
The Bucks went into last night at 14-11. They won by a bunch. They exited the night 14-11.
The most strange thing of all time.
Giannis' stat line will not be factored into his totals this season.
That's right. If he loses a rebounding title because he had 19 in a game that didn't count, I'd be pretty pissed if I'm him. Anyway, I got to be honest, I swapped him.
That's fair.
Okay.
But this is just a weird MVP race for me because, okay, you had Shea. Do you remember your top five off the top of your head?
Well, I can look them up.
You can look them up because this is a weird MVP race for me, and I'm interested to hear what your top five are because just off the rip, if you said, hey, who are the MVP candidates right now?
Yeah, give me your top five.
I haven't thought about it super hard, but I know Shea would have been up there. Yeah, Jokic probably would have been one. I probably would have had Giannis two and probably Shea three. But again, that's off the dome, just not a thing that I've like done a deep dive on and thought about very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But just based on what I've seen from those guys and how what their numbers look like, that would have been the top three off the top of my head.
But I always factor in win loss record.
Sure. Okay. And that's okay. And that's what I want. So, you probably put Tatum in there as well.
No,
Jason, he is not in your top five. Okay, so tell me your top five because I want to try and make a point.
Okay, so number one now is Giannis.
Okay.
Number two is Shea.
Okay.
Number three is Jokic. I think that's all fair.
Okay.
Number four is Luka.
Okay.
And number five is kind of a stunner, but if you look at it, he deserves to be there, and it's Kat.
Kat has been ridiculous.
And I am not a Kat fan. I have, like, throughout his career, there are things that he did in Minnesota that are very counter to winning, and I did not appreciate some of the stories that I know personally coming out of like him being part of that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But right now he's averaging 24.8. He's averaging 13.9 rebounds,
leading the league,
and 3.3 assists. He's averaging a block. He's ridiculous right now.
He's shooting 43.9% from three on five attempts a game.
Just absolutely crazy.
He's been insane.
Well, not only that, but if you're going to shoot that well on five attempts per game, you would expect him not to be a great rebounder.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's leading the league in rebounds.
The New York Knicks are eighth in the league in scoring right now.
Mm.
A good team. Third in offensive rating. The Knicks! Third in offensive rating, 15th in defensive rating.
I just think it's crazy because he's right now, he's averaging a full 5.6 more rebounds per game than he did last year.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
That is a wild leap.
And the other thing I found interesting is I thought, okay, well, he's stealing rebounds from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and you look, and first of all, I thought that they wouldn't be a good rebounding team, but there's Josh Hart right there at 8.2 rebounds per game. Didn't steal anything from that dude.
Nope.
That dude never let anybody steal a rebound from him.
Never.
So, yeah, I don't know. He's just been that impressive. So I had him in my top five. He probably won't stay in my top five throughout the entire season. But I think for right now, where we sit in the season, I'm comfortable with that.
So the reason I think the MVP race is so interesting is because you have Shea in the top five, and he's on a one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody from the one seed in the East, the Cavs. Nobody from the two seed in the East, the Celtics. And this is not a you thing. I think your top five is good.
I went to look at the Cavs, and Donovan Mitchell's just, like, he's averaging 23 points per game.
And Boston is loaded. Yeah, Tatum will wind up in the top five for the season, I'm sure.
He always ends up in my top five.
Yeah.
And he's averaging, like, 28.2 a game or something.
But it's where the race stands right now. Kat is on the three seed in the East. The Magic are the four seed. They have no candidates, but mostly because the two guys are hurt who would be candidates. The Bucks are the five seed. You have Giannis as one from the number five seed. Jokic is the five seed. Luka is the four seed. Like, I just, the MVP performances are not necessarily coming from the best teams in each conference right now. And that's what's so interesting to me. And I'm interested to see how this shakes out. If the Bucks finish with 50 wins and they're a four seed or five seed, does that outweigh it if the Mavericks wind up as the two seed?
It's gonna be interesting. As of right now, Giannis leads the league in scoring, which is crazy. I mean, he's almost 33 a game, 32 something a game. Luka is down a full 5 points per game over what he was last year.
Yeah, he's really struggled out of the gate.
Yeah, and the other thing is when I look at the Bucks where they're at today. Man, they've been on a tear to get to where they are right now.
Yeah,
they have been on an absolute tear. So yes, they are the five seed, but this is a team that has totally recovered after a bad start. And a lot of that is because Giannis has just willed them into this race.
He is averaging 33 a night, making less than 1 3 a game.
That's insane. Like, absolutely, that is wild.
33, 11 and a half, and 6 with 1.6 blocks.
That's,
he's the best player crazy. In the sport right now.
So the Bucks started the season 2-8.
Yeah.
And since that moment, they are 12-3.
Technically 13-3.
Technically 13-3.
But last night's game didn't count.
I just don't get it. Why can't you just put that as part of the standings?
Okay.
And have a team play 83rd game.
Make it, dude, yes. Make it an 80. Make it worth two wins. That's where, so I want to. Here's my issue with the NBA Cup. I like it in general. I like the idea.
Uh-huh.
And I think the games do have a little bit of added intensity. It's kind of a fun thing mid-season. There's a few issues it has, though. One of them is what you're talking about. That game happened last night and then just evaporates.
Yeah.
To me, if you really want to make this thing like more than just a financial incentive,
uh-huh,
make that thing worth two wins. You get that would be you think teams aren't going to try, quote unquote, to go get, and it doesn't count for two losses.
Well, but how about two wins for the winner and one win for the loser? I mean, they made it to the finals.
Sure. I guess that plays.
Okay.
But there has to be a way that they can incentivize it beyond the dollars, because the dollars aren't going to draw in fans.
No.
I'm not watching because, like, man, Isaiah Hartenstein might get an extra six figures. I don't give a rip.
Yeah.
But if you said, hey, the Milwaukee Bucks, who have struggled out of the gate, could get two wins tonight, it's kind of interesting. Think the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers,
yeah,
aren't going to ramp up for in-season tournament games trying to go get those two wins?
I just think it's just to have that, like, not count at all, it just fully does not make sense by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm never going to be able to wrap my brain around it.
I don't know why they did it like that.
What it reminds me of, I know this is kind of, like, obscure and weird, but in, like, 1973, Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds' dad,
yeah,
finished with 39 homers and 43 stolen bases. Mm-hmm. He actually hit a 40th homer, but there was a game mid-season that didn't go five innings and had to be replayed. And so his 40th homer fell off the books.
Oh,
and
brutal.
And never counts.
It's like, but Mr. 3000.
Yeah, so that's exactly when you're looking at, like, I don't get, like, why these things don't count. They should have been able to resume the game, but they didn't. They replayed the game as part of, like, a doubleheader or something.
Right.
And now they resume the game if they have to do something like that. But either way,
that's odd.
It's an oddity to the record books, and you know, it is what it is. He missed out on, if I'm not mistaken, that's the way it worked out.
So that's one major flaw the NBA needs to work out here, is make that game count.
Yes.
Make it an 83rd game, and do the same thing with the play-in tournament. You get an extra game, or call it a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's what MLB does with their wild card games.
You know what I would hate is if I got to 64 games as a player,
uh-huh,
and wasn't eligible for postseason awards.
Man, yes.
But I had to play an extra game, whether it was the cup final or it was a play-in, and that would have put me at 65, but I'm still not eligible because I don't have technically 65 games. It's just sitting there, like, the possibility is sitting out there for this.
They have to find a way to fix that. Here's the other thing. I thought the crowd last night sucked. It was the environment was not fun. Their energy wasn't there. And it's because, at least partially, you do this in Las Vegas, and you don't have time to plan this trip to Las Vegas. So that means that if you're a Bucks or Oklahoma City Thunder fan, you have to, on a whim, go, yeah, I'm going to fly to Vegas. I'm going to get a hotel in Vegas.
On a whim.
On a whim. Hope they win the semifinal. And then they go to the final. That doesn't count for anything.
Okay, so
The solution here is get it away from Vegas.
Yes.
Get the hell out of there. You have no reason to be there other than, oh, guys want to go to Vegas. No. Play that game. If that game's in Milwaukee or in Oklahoma City last night and there's something on the line, you think the crowd's not going to be into it?
No, I totally agree.
It would have been awesome.
I don't think you can do neutral site. And I know players are like, hey, well, a trip to Vegas, that would be cool for 3 days. And it's like, really?
I don't give a damn. Like, look, I don't care. But I don't care that the player, if a player wants to go to Vegas. I'm sorry. As a fan, I'm personally sure I want them to be happy. But as a fan, I don't give a rip what they're doing with their leisure time. Yeah. I want maximum enjoyment from the game. And I think having a crowd that's actually into it, and that actually has a emotional investment in who wins the game?
Yes.
Is a way better way to go about it.
See, I think that if you kept it in Vegas, but you fast-tracked the team expansion and a team being in Vegas, it's a good way to build the value of Vegas again.
Yes.
Right? To build the value. But Summer League isn't even all that well attended. Like, mm-hmm. I'll go to some... Yeah, the small gym is packed. The big gym
right.
is never packed.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Number one, it's too hot, and no one wants to go there because just walking from the parking lot to the building, you might not make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they may find you in a puddle, like, out yeah. in the parking lot, yeah, and yeah. you didn't make it. But also, like, Vegas, just the way that the Raiders are able to capture the fan base there is super unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you have a rabid fan base that has already had their team move multiple times, and... Going to Vegas for a weekend and catching a game on Sunday sounds like a lot of fun. That's not what this is. And yeah. that's why Major League Baseball, good luck. Because it's not going to work. You are not going to draw 30,000 fans a night, which is what they need in order to pay off their debt yeah. to the city. You will not be able to do any of that.
Yep.
It just won't happen. Mm-hmm. That like Vegas is a great town, really hardworking people. Mm-hmm. But most people in Vegas can't afford anything, and they work multiple jobs. They're not going to go sit there and buy season tickets and go to 162 games. And fans aren't just going to fly into Vegas to
that's
go
see
That's
the bigger it. Thing. Like, that's the bigger deal.
Yeah.
With baseball and clearly with the NBA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It worked a little with the Lakers because you can drive to Vegas from L.A.
Yeah.
Honestly, for the day. But no substantial amount of people are in Oklahoma City and Milwaukee going, hey, we need to fly to Vegas for the NBA Cup.
Oh, no.
They tried to make it matter. They put out ski goggles.
Ski goggles.
And they did the
drape. The Bisqueen drape.
Yeah, the Bisqueen. Thank you. Yes. That's the plastic sheeting.
Yep.
They had the champagne out there. They were ready to go. And then shout out to the Bucks for being like, we're not doing all that. We're not doing all that.
Like, seriously.
They're trying so hard to make this matter, and it's like, hey, NBA, you're making... It doesn't matter because you get to spray your teammates with champagne. It doesn't matter because of the celebration.
You know, like, the worst job in the NBA? Just, like, every
locker
time...
Locker room attendant?
Every time... No, because those guys... Like, there's some perks to that job.
Sure.
Like, the...
I thought you were talking about cleaning up. Go ahead.
Well, yes, but cleaning up the Warriors arena after every game that they win, when they drop confetti from the mm-hmm. ceiling. Just think if every single game you had to sit, and it's a brand new arena, you know that like they want it pristine.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find these little tiny pieces of confetti that are all over the place.
Yeah.
Every single home game that they win.
Is that right?
Yes.
I have been at multiple wins and I have not seen confetti.
You've never seen confetti.
Yeah.
Well, every time I've been to a game that there's confetti. Huh. And certainly in the playoffs, every single game
there's
playoffs,
confetti.
Yes.
In the playoffs, they do.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Either way, I mean, that's a bad job to have to, because it's not like those things just like pick. They're everywhere and it sticks to the floor and it's just like a mess.
It's not fun to get rid of.
No.
I still, from the last parade, because we broadcasted at 95.7, the Warriors flagship, we broadcasted like from the parade route. I still have confetti like in my backpack.
Oh, yeah.
It's just impossible to find it. I can't imagine trying to pick it up off a floor.
Yeah, I have a shadow box at home with corks from the locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
From champagne corks.
Which is great.
I've got pictures of the champagne. I've got pictures of like from that I took, whether from the locker room or from the floor that night. But I also have confetti inside from the night.
Sick.
So
here's the other issue I have with the NBA Cup. Aside from the fact that the game last night was ass. On December 8th, the NBA played 12 games. And again, part of their thing with the NBA Cup is like making early season games matter. We want people to be locked into early season basketball. Okay. On December 8th, there were 12 basketball games. 24 of the 30 teams played. Okay.
Okay.
On December 9th, there was one game. On December 10th, there were two games. On December 11th, there were two games. So since December 8th, where they played 12 games, they played five NBA games. December 12th, three games.
Mm.
December 13th, we had eight games. Okay, that's good. December 14th, back to two. December 15th, we had seven. Okay. Keep in mind that December 15th, there were seven NBA games, and that's during an NFL Sunday. December 16th, we had six games. December 17th, yesterday, one game that doesn't count. And today, no games.
I don't get it. Where's the buildup?
You're trying. Yes. Where is it?
Where's the buildup? Like, what are we doing?
Just coasting into Christmas?
You killed the buildup to put a tournament in before Christmas.
Yes.
You did.
And now there's no bad. To me, to generate interest, you have to have games on the television. And right now you're losing to Cal UNLV bowl games.
You're losing to Lindsay Lohan Christmas movies.
Thank you.
You are.
Well, not a terrible thing to lose to, but I get the point you're making. No, man. They have to construct this in a way where it's not torpedoing the schedule. The rest, I'm sure a team like the Kings is loving it. A few days off here, a few days off there, yeah, sure.
Well, you love it unless it destroyed your three-game sure. win streak momentum. And if you lose a couple of games out of this, you're going to be like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, man. I don't know where the upside is for the NBA to be like, yeah, we're going to have all these days where there's only one or two games.
Well, that and on
man,
top of that.
What?
We talk about this all the time, how we don't really care about the ratings and we don't really care about like the matchups.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about ratings.
It was Milwaukee versus OKC. Those fans tuned in. Everybody else, meh.
You're not getting the casual NBA fan.
Yeah.
You'll get people like us, and anybody tapped into sports talk radio at 10:30 on a Wednesday is probably at least checking it out. And frankly, like, that's a good matchup. I don't mind the Bucks versus Thunder as a basketball matchup. Mm-hmm. The game didn't go great. The Thunder shot 33.7% from the field and 15.6% from three. Ugh.
Mm.
1 for 17 from three in the first half. But the matchup is like, okay, but to your point, NBA wise, as I promise, it's not what they wanted.
No.
But
no.
It's what they got.
Because it is what it is. Sorry about that.
This is, I don't know, man. They've got. I like this idea. I like that the NBA is willing to think outside the box to drum up the intensity and the urgency and the popularity of the league. That's fine. They've still got some major things to iron out with the NBA Cup.
Hmm.
Anyways. The Falcons also made a move at quarterback yesterday. How does that affect the 49ers? We'll talk about it. And is it the time for the Sacramento Kings to hit the big red button in the trade market? We're going to talk about that next because James built a trade this morning. We were playing around with the trade machine. James built a trade that we got to talk about. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, that's us.
It is us, Kyle.
That's James there, I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. Make sure to get into Jiffy Lube today because the holiday driving season is upon us and you don't want to find out that you need an oil change or that you need new wipers or that you should have changed your battery or that you needed new headlights or brake lights. You don't want to find that out mid-travel.
No, and you don't want to get stuck at someone's house either. You don't want to go there and then you wake up the next morning and your battery doesn't turn over and now you're stuck at your mother-in-law's house for an extra 2 days. Just saying.
Like I'd started at someone's house.
It's just like, hey, the car won't start. What do we do now? Yeah, not great.
Yeah, it's a good way to ruin the holiday. Like, how was your, you don't want to get back to work. How was your, oh, it was fine except for
Jiffy Lube and no other auto parts store is open on Christmas Day and I can't get a new battery.
Yep.
Just saying.
The good news is there's likely a Jiffy Lube location near you. You can find it at jiffylube.com.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're at jiffylube.com, download that holiday special $33 off oil change coupon.
There you go.
It's a great deal. Go get all that done today at Jiffy Lube. All right. So we're talking this morning. Mm-hmm. As we are wont to do. And as we got into the Kings trade discussion yesterday, and I think the big thing for me, the word that keeps clanging around in my head as we discuss this, is urgency. And mm-hmm. what does the urgency look like for the Kings? Because in 22-23... it was the rise. It was like, oh my God, hey, there's a good team here.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year it was run it back. Didn't make any major moves. Okay, gave it a shot, didn't work. This offseason, you add DeMar DeRozan. They still had the same kind of roster shortcomings that we'd mostly talked about, the size and athleticism, particularly on the wings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, DeMar DeRozan, okay, this is good. That's improvement. Roster looks a little better. Let's see what it looks like.
But you got smaller.
You definitely lost some size. So now they're 13-14, and trade season is nigh, if not upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I keep coming back to when we talk about urgency is everybody goes, you got to make a trade. They got to make a trade now. But if the assets are Devin Carter and
maybe Devin Carter, they may not even want to trade him.
Right. But realistic assets that could be on the table. We've talked about first-round picks, but, oh, you don't want to give up. You might not be a guy worth giving up a first-round pick for. All right.
Well, Kyle,
go ahead.
I'm going to keep pointing to the problem with giving up first-round picks. The problem is, if you trade a first-round pick, you're looking at 2027 and possibly 28. You might not be able to trade until 28, right?
Right, because of the pick that goes to the Hawks.
Because of the pick that goes to the Hawks and the Stepien rule.
Right? Boy, they need that to convey this year.
Okay, so we said that last year, too, and it didn't convey. Okay, but here's the problem, Kyle. The problem is that your 27 pick coincides with DeMar DeRozan's final year. He already would be at the end of his final year, and that's you know, he's under contract for this year. He's under contract for 25.
Sure.
And 26, 27, right? Like, that's it. Like, if you're going to lose, that's not a good idea, because at that point, you could have a steep drop off in production at a major position.
Sure.
And not have any assets to go address that with.
Okay.
Or even to trade with. Understood. But go ahead.
Understood.
Yep.
And I get all of that. But I guess my contention is, if your concern is, oh, we might be bad in 2027, then what are we doing here? To me, like, this is, we said it when they got DeMar DeRozan, like, all right, here's the window.
No, I agree.
And that's why, to me, it's the F them picks thing. If they stink in 2027 and they don't have a first, so freaking be it.
Yeah.
But if you have that first and it's like, yeah, we had that first, but also it meant not making the playoffs or not making any kind of real substantial run in the 3 years prior, why does it matter? What are we doing this for then?
I totally agree.
So that's why, to me, you can and again, this is not give up a first round pick just to do it. But if you need to give up a first round pick to go get a player that you think upgrades your roster even a little bit right now, I think you have to do it. And the other question that comes up is, when we talk about assets, are we at the point yet where we're putting Keegan Murray on the table? He might not be in the center of the table. He might not be up there with Kevin Herter's contract and Trey Lyles' contract and all that. But is he on the table more than he was this time last year?
I would say, like, up until this point, he's been off the table.
Yeah.
Right? Completely.
Yes.
Unless, like, there's always that crazy deal out there that will never happen, that you say, like, GMs will always tell you, oh, we never say never. We never say that that every player on our team is untouchable.
If Jaylen Brown asked out and Boston said, we want Keegan Murray for Jaylen Brown, you would do it.
Yeah, Keegan Murray, salary filler, and a couple of firsts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, you're doing that. But,
you have to do it.
Realistically, the realistic moves that were going to be out there, he was not on the table.
No, he wasn't. And even, like, for the last couple of years, like the Lauri Markkanen deal,
mm-hmm.
like, I believe that there were times that they could have had Lauri Markkanen if they were willing to include Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't. They weren't willing to include him, and they haven't been. You know, they've always held that he is off the table, that mm-hmm. if they're going to make
sense.
A move, they're going to look at all of these other assets that they might have before they actually go to the Keegan Murray card. And that, like, rightfully so. I mean, he was a fourth pick in the draft. You still have him under contract for this year, next year, and then even if he doesn't sign an extension, you can still do a qualifying offer and get a fifth year, but more likely you're going to sign him to an extension next summer. And that's where, like, this becomes really, really complicated. I don't know, Kyle, when you go out and you sign a guy like DeMar DeRozan, we all knew what that meant. That meant that Keegan Murray was likely going to have to take a little bit of a lesser role on the offensive side of the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? And a much bigger role on the defensive side of the
yep.
ball, because DeMar DeRozan, for all that he does do, he is not a great defender, and, like, he's limited at age 35 and mm-hmm. who he can defend and where sure. he can defend. It's just a reality of the situation. It's not calling out DeMar. It's just, everybody who hits a certain age at the NBA, it becomes more and more difficult to keep up with the young kids that do crazy things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to keep asking more of Keegan Murray, but I kind of figured that what we would have is Keegan Murray take a little bit lesser of a role, but still get enough shots where he was around the same, maybe a little bit more points per game,
mm-hmm.
and develop more, be able to develop at maybe what would be a proper pace, right? On a good team, developing him. But that's not kind of what we've seen. What we've seen is a young player who, for whatever reason, has not been able to, I mean, on the defensive end, he lives up to it. As a rebounder, he's living up to it. But everything else in his game just feels like he doesn't really know what his identity is at this point. And it's like, he doesn't just want to be a set shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can go to the rim and just hammer down on guys. That's fine. He can do that. But, like, once or twice a game. The mid-range jump shot looks great, but he only gets one or two of them a week. And so what you've done is you've kind of, like, there's not a lot of way for him to get out of the rut he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, especially when you put Malik Monk in the lineup, he's your fifth guy. in the starting lineup. He is your fifth option in the starting lineup. And there's no question about that. He's a fifth option.
It is not even close.
You have two excellent playmaking guards. You have a very good playmaking small forward. And you have one of the best playmaking centers in the game.
Yep.
And then you have Keegan Murray.
Yep.
And Keegan's not the playmaker that any of the other guys are. So what that does is he becomes a secondary option.
And he's not, and just real quick, and he's not the type of player who's going to go, I'm going to go create chances for myself.
No.
He's going to take that back seat, and he's going to do it willingly.
Even when he goes up and gets offensive rebounds, which he's done so much better this season,
yes.
He's kicking him out.
Yep.
He's not going back up with the ball. He's not creating his own shot, which is, again, he's being a good teammate, and there's nothing wrong with what he's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality of the situation. And so what you don't want to see is him to continue to decline as an overall scorer, because I thought what we would see is him and DeRozan sort of on equal footing, and then as DeRozan starts to decline, Keegan would go up.
Mm-hmm.
That's not at all what we've seen. We've seen DeMar DeRozan weight the scale so heavily, and Keegan Murray is just not part of any game plan. And if he's
which
not
is kind
hitting,
of surprising to me.
It is. And if he's not hitting his first 3-point shot, then it's not coming back around to him nearly enough. And so I feel for him because clearly he knows that, like, everybody on the outside is talking about it. But he continues to say that he's fine. He understands what his role is. He would like to shoot the ball better and all this stuff, but it's really tough. Just look at how Doug McDermott got into a game late and just said, like, look, I don't care. And he hit a whole bunch, 6 threes. But he hoisted 9, right? He's like, okay, yeah. I'm just going to go for it. He needed that to get himself in rhythm, to find himself on the court again. We're waiting for those moments from Keegan, and unfortunately, it's just few and far between. And he's been great as a rebounder. He's been great defensively, but it just puts him at a disadvantage as far as, like, I mean, if you want to get paid in the NBA, you score points.
Yes.
How are you supposed to score points when you're in a starting lineup with four really, 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 really good scorers?
Mm-hmm.
Like really top-end NBA talent scorers.
Yes.
Three of the guys average well over 20 points per game. One of them is, as a starter, has got to be close to 20 points a game, and Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to find your shots?
And that's where I wonder, because look, this isn't, I want to make sure that I'm conveying this thought properly. This isn't a Keegan is bad now, get rid of him idea or thought.
Mm-hmm.
This is is he going to grow into the player that they were hoping he was going to grow into? Because this is not a 20-year-old.
No.
He is 24.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his age 24 season. So if this is what it's going to look like for the next couple of years with DeMar DeRozan, and you have Keegan Murray as a 27-year-old after that, I don't know the answer to this, but it's like, would you be better if you can include Keegan in a trade for multiple assets where, okay, maybe your starting four isn't quite as good as Keegan as a player,
mm-hmm.
but your seventh and eighth players are significantly better.
Yeah, that's going to be the question.
Because you're talking about, like, what's his role? If this is what DeMar DeRozan's going to be to the Kings, where he's taking up this much oxygen in the offense, which I don't mind, it's not a bad thing. I think it was a little bit maybe unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's going to take up this much oxygen, then you don't need a player as high level as Keegan hanging out over there if it means that you can get multiple rotation pieces.
No, I get it. I'm going to make the, like, potential is such a bad thing in the NBA. I know it sounds like potential is great. You need productivity.
Especially with where the Kings are now, you need productivity.
Yeah, potential is fine, right? But you only have potential for so long. And if you can't convert that potential into productivity, and I would make the argument that Keegan throughout his first three seasons has been extremely productive, just not as productive as maybe you would think. But I think this is, like, it's fully situational. Like, I don't know that, you know, again, everyone out there, we're looking at like the Nets. We keep bringing up the Nets because, like, number one, I know that they're
open for business.
I know that they've had conversations and they literally are open for business. Yeah. Like,
they've already done a trade.
Yeah, they have a giant sale sign sitting above their franchise. They're ready to make deals and they're looking for young players. They're looking for draft assets. They're looking to reset their roster. And so then we start looking at that team, and the two players that stick out are Dorian Finney-Smith, who's 31 years old and, you know, under contract for a year, or Cam Johnson, who's 28 years old but under contract for two more years after this year, so 2.5 years. So you're like, okay, but here's my concern. The player that I'm looking at, Keegan Murray, right now, and if I'm comparing him around the league, you were hoping you were getting Chris Middleton, but it's looking more and more like you're getting Cam Johnson. Not Cam Johnson, who's got inflated scoring stats right now, but Cam Johnson throughout his career. And so at a certain point, you're looking at Keegan Murray and his contract extension this summer and going, okay, there was a point where Keegan Murray is a $30-plus million extension guy.
But if they had to do it this offseason, I think that's what they would have done.
Of course. But that he doesn't get the opportunity until after this season.
Right.
And now if you're the Kings, are you going to pay $30-something million a year for a player who's averaging 12 points and shooting, you know, even if he has a revitalization here, but finish the season 34-35% from three? Yeah, he's a great defender, but a great defender, not an all-NBA defender, but a really, really good defender. I mean, basically, we're describing Cam Johnson. Like, his stat, except for he's a better rebounder. But defensively, they're both really good defenders, defensive players. Like, so you're starting to wonder, like, what is his value, not just on the open market, but what is his value to you? And at 24, you know, again, this is a player that if you're going out there and trying to improve your roster right now, teams are going to ask, hey, is he available? And I still think the answer is no, but that doesn't mean that the answer is fully no.
I think the answer typically would have been no. I think now the answer is like, for what?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's where you start to look, like we were talking about it earlier. It's like, well, what if you were to include him on a trade with the Nets? And it's like, okay, well, like,
because the Nets want young players
and picks.
Picks and expiring contracts.
Yes, exactly. So, like, if you were to piece together a deal, there is a way to make a deal with the Nets where not only can you potentially bring back a Dorian Finney-Smith and a Cam Johnson, but then you can start asking for other things as well. Because to balance out the value of the trade and the fact that you're getting 4 years older at the forward position with Cam Johnson and you're getting 7 years older with a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith, they're going to have to throw in something to sort of balance the sheet. And that's where they've got a couple of young bigs that, you know, again, Nick Claxton makes a bunch of money, so you're not going there, but like a guy like Noah Clowney, you're like, Noah Clowney starts making a little bit more sense. He's 20 years old, and you're like, well, why would the Nets give him up? It's like, well, the Nets are giving him up because they're getting something larger in value, that's a top four pick. You know,
and Noah Clowney is like a 6'10". He's a legit four who can shoot it.
Yeah, he's a legit 4'5" who is shooting tons of threes. And so you're like, okay, can you create a deal? And I'm not advocating for this. And I'm not reporting that something like this could happen.
No, this was literally just us playing around with the trade machine today.
Yeah, but at some point you do have to look at everything. Right? You have to look at, why are you not succeeding right now?
Yeah, and that's what, so here's why this even comes to mind. Because it is, to me, the urgency is as high as it's ever been for Sacramento. And we've talked about Kevin Huerter, and we've talked about Trey Lyles, and we've talked about Devin Carter, and okay, do you give up first? Whatever this is. I wonder if the move is out there. Maybe it's not a move at the Nets. Maybe it's some other team that is not being talked about that we don't know yet.
Of course, of course.
But if you think that you can get, okay, a player to effectively replace Keegan, and then also two more rotation players.
Yeah, one for the future and one for the now.
Yeah, and Noah Clowney could play too. Like, it's not like he's going to play no minutes.
Yeah.
But if, and again, we pick the Nets because we know they're open for business. It could be, this could be any team. I think you have to at least consider it when you talk about the depth on this team and the assets they have. It has to at least be in consideration. I understand that it's kind of counterintuitive because they need specifically players on the wing who are good defenders.
They need more Keegan Murrays.
Right. And so moving a Keegan Murray sounds insane, but if you're getting a effective Keegan replacement, but then also another wing like that, like Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith, and a 6'10 four who can play next to Sabonis. Now it gets, not saying I would stamped do it today.
Yeah. Well, and in that deal.
I'm giving that way more thought now. And again, like you said, it's not like it's on the table. This is Kyle and James playing with the trade machine today.
Yeah.
But if that deal was on the table in this hypothetical world, I'm considering that today way more than I would have considered it this time last year.
No, totally. Totally. And like in any deal that you're going to create with those two teams, you have to understand that it would not just be a player like Keegan Murray. In addition to that, it would be Kevin Huerter, it would be Trey Lyles, and it would be a Colby Jones. It would be like contract filler. And you would also have to go to your owner and say, hey, it's going to put us like $4 million over the luxury tax. You're going to have to pay.
But that's my concern here. And the reason I'm willing to go down the Keegan Murray path, because I don't think he's going to get traded. For what it's worth, if I had $1,000 to bet, I would bet he's not moved.
I would agree with you.
And I would comfortably do that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I would also say that like any trade that we just like create, it's not going to be that. They're not trading him for Kyle Kuzma.
No.
They're not trading him for an expiring contract that is Brandon Ingram.
No.
Like, that's not what we're talking about. Unless you're getting an extension with Ingram that makes sense to you. But even still, like, you're going to have to piece this thing together in some weird way if you're going to make any move. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. Like, my concern that most of these moves that we're talking about, it doesn't matter who you bring in, they're going to look very similar to Keegan Murray's offensive stats because you still have the same starting four. And it's just whether or not you can collect the other assets that make it make more sense, where all of a sudden you can build out your bench in a different way. But what you can't do is expect that, like, moving a Keegan Murray for Cam Johnson would be in the same exact situation where
exact
he is
same.
The fifth player.
Right.
You know, the only way you maybe take a step up there is if you were to go get a Brandon Ingram. And I'm still confused at where Brandon Ingram wouldn't be the fifth option in your offensive
set. Yeah, I think he absolutely would.
I mean, he would be fighting. It would be a fourth and fifth option with DeMar DeRozan.
I don't think he fits, Brandon Ingram specifically, just while we're on the that specific topic.
Yeah,
but,
and he's injured, and like you need help now, and he's going to be out for weeks with an ankle.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think the discussion at least has to be started.
My concern here is that we get to the day after the deadline, and a couple of second-round picks for a Kessler Edwards type is their move.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here going into mid-February into March and going,
when is De'Aaron Fox's agent going to come out and say that it's time? And that's the problem. You got, you know, a GM who has to be feeling the heat right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have a coach that clearly
I would hope so. If he doesn't, we got a bigger problem.
Yeah, you got a coach that's clearly felt the heat. Like, at what point do you have to make moves? And again, you don't want to make moves out of desperation. Mm-hmm. And I somebody asked the other day, are every team in the league looking at the Kings as like the desperate team that has to make a move? It's like that. Okay, sure. But like, look, every team in the league has to make a move for one reason or another, either to get better or get worse.
Yeah.
That's just the way the league is. And everybody is always looking to get better or get worse.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Kings, if they're making a move right now, it's because things have not gone the way that anyone expected them to go so far this season.
Yeah.
At all.
We'll continue talking about this. There's a couple more layers that we need to dive into. And in the second hour, I am going to tell you how the 49ers can still win the NFC West.
Yes. We should get Kenny in here for this.
Oh, it's the dumbest thing. We'll do that. We'll keep talking Kings. Plenty more coming up in the second hour. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and we're on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.